Listen, listen now for God speaking in these words of the prophet Habakkuk. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgments come forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them. But the righteous live by their faith. These are the words of life. They may be trusted. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Amen. You know, last Sunday in my sermon, I remarked casually, I think, that when I meet Jesus, I doubt that Jesus will quiz me over the basic doctrines of Reformed Protestant Christianity. I was serious about that. I happen to believe that doctrines divide and that love unites. And that serving Jesus is not so much about what I believe, but about what I'm willing to actually do to love my neighbor. And if my beliefs don't lead me out that door and into a hurting world following servant Jesus, then those beliefs really do not amount to very much at all. Well, today, many congregations like this one remember the Protestant Reformation, which began just about 500 years ago. The Reformation shattered any illusion of a unified church, a process which has continued steadily ever since. You'll remember that Jesus said once that wherever two or three were gathered together in his name, he would be present. That is absolutely true, I believe. The problem over the years seems to have been that whenever two or three of his followers have gathered, the two disagree with the one, and the two go off and start their own church, a church that reflects what they think and what they believe, somehow imagining that they can get inside mind of God, and that's why there are churches on virtually every corner. Right now, in fact, there are hundreds of different Christian denominations in the U.S., thousands around the world, many believing that they are right about all things Jesus and that the rest of us have it totally wrong. Let me remind you of something. The United Church of Christ, our denominational family, was formed with the idea of reuniting some of that brokenness. We have, by and large, failed in that call, but we've tried. We do our international mission work right now with the Disciples of Christ denomination. Our missionaries do not try to convert people. They serve the needs of the people where they serve and work only when they have an invitation to serve under the leadership of local groups. We share ministers right now with Lutherans and Presbyterians and a few other groups. And recently, we've entered into a partnership, a significant partnership, with the United Church of Canada. And we're in serious conversations with the Unitarian Universalist denomination. Our motto, that they may all be one, is still a part of our story. Many years ago, a member of my congregation asked me whether we were Protestants or Catholics. At first glance, that's a rather simple question to answer. Then one of the things I know that lies at the very cornerstone of our tradition is that simple answers are not always simple. We are Protestants, but we are also Catholics. We are Protestants because we're part of a group that has its roots in the Protestant Reformation. We are Protestants not because we're protesters, but because we testify to some religious ideas that actually shape our lives together. We are people who attempt to live the Jesus truth that we're called to love God, love ourselves, and love our neighbors. And we are Catholic, a word that means universal, because we share those big ideas with Christians of almost every tradition, including our Roman Catholic siblings. Now, permit me to dance. You know I like to dance, that first hymn. Did you love that first hymn? Were you dancing out there? That was late medieval jazz, and that was the way that Martin Luther actually would have sung it in the congregation of his day. It took Victorian flattening to turn that hymn into the one that's familiar to us. Well, let me dance a little more. One of the things I love most about our tradition is that we are always on a walk in conversation with a God who refuses to be boxed by human simple-mindedness. We believe in continuous reformation. We believe that the story is unfolding and continuing. For example, I am one of your preachers and teachers, but I am not your conscience or your conduit into the mind of God. Occasionally, I do glimpse the mystery of God or some truth about the holy, but my call is to share what I have glimpsed and to invite you all to journey with me. So much of the wicked religious bigotry peddled in the name of Christianity these days has its source in largely male authorities enforcing their will and power needs onto the churches they serve. As I see it, it's frequently more often about male ego and power and keeping women in subservient roles. They use homophobia. They use transphobia. They use abortion rights questions as a manipulative tool for fear-mongering. And their congregations, often large, believing their pastors, are then co-opted by politicians to exercise power over the rest of us. That is a threat to our democracy, and that could well be the undoing of this nation. In the name of religion, these pastors and the politicians then act as if the rest of us don't have the right to be wrong. Mistrust anyone who says to you, you don't have the right to be wrong. Let me name it clearly. A religion of absolutes is not the faith of Jesus. It is not the faith of the Buddha or of the Prophet Muhammad or the essence of any spirituality that exists to foster love, humility, service, and compassion. It is about power and repression and is, in effect, a form of fascism fed by fear and hate. Let me dance a little further now into the ideas we share in this tradition. Idea one, the sovereignty of God. God is beyond all I can explain, and God is within all that we are. God is love, and the complexity and simplicity of all that it means to say that God is love. When I say too much about God, then I have played fast and loose on the slippery slope of idolatry. And when I talk about God with too much confidence or certainty, I slide down that slope farther than I dare. And guess what? You need to rescue me. And that's the second idea. That rescue is called the priesthood of all believers. I'm not your priest. I'm not an authority to whom you must yield. I am one of your pastors, a shepherd and a teacher, who stands with you in need, desperately in need, of the grace of God. We are priests to one another, called into a community of caring and dialogue that happens to be named Plymouth. We are called to learn together how to be faithful and how to love one another and how to serve this community and this world. Idea number three that comes naturally in our tradition when we leave behind the idea of top-down authority, the freedom of the individual conscience. As I said a moment ago, we all have the right to be wrong. In the words of the pastor, John Robinson, of the Plymouth Pilgrims, before they got on the boat 400 years ago, 401 years ago, there's yet more light and truth to break forth from God's holy word. And that leads inescapably to the notion so precious to our tradition, God is still speaking. So much of the racism and nationalism that plague our nation's past and shadow the world's future is based on Christian triumphalism. That ideal enabled the Europeans to come to this continent, to go to Africa and to India and else places in the world, believing that the indigenous people they met there were not created in the image of God. That evil life was used to excuse chattel slavery and Jim Crow and voter suppression and white supremacy. In the past, those ideas hid in the darkness. Those ideas wore white sheets to hide identities. Today, it's proudly proclaimed by people who name themselves followers of Jesus. Guns, tiki torches, dog whistle politics gather in a witch's brew of hate. When we say that God is still speaking, we call out the arrogance of those who believe that in their fear, the final word of God has been spoken. Today we heard words of a prophet ancient. In a moment, we will hear the words of a prophet modern. The ancient prophet Habakkuk. Chances are very few of you have read much Habakkuk. Am I wrong about that? The little book is hidden way back in the back of Hebrew scriptures. It speaks words of challenge and judgment to the people of Judah. 2,800 years ago, Habakkuk called out and Habakkuk condemned a lack of justice in the political, judicial, and economic systems of his day, and then goes on to predict in graphic detail the demise of that rotten to the core system by a God who will punish unjust leaders and bring about equity and a new way of living. And what Habakkuk has to say is terrifying, because what he says seems truer today than it was 2,800 years ago. And yet what the prophet says is not without hope. The prophets are never without hope, because beyond the dire situation of that time and this, good people, loving people, the people of Jesus who long and work for peace and justice and equity are promised the strength to go on in their journey of loving. They share a vision of just kingdom, a place where all God's children are welcomed and affirmed, a place where a vision of something better has a chance, and where truth prevails because it is true. And in the meantime, in the time between when so much that's ugly and small-hearted seems so strong, will you listen with me to the words of a modern prophet, the poet Wendell Berry? Listen for a word of God for your journey. This poem is entitled Manifesto, A Mad Farmer's Liberation Front. And the reference is listed in the bulletin. Your homework is to go home, go on the internet, find the poem, and read it. One reading does not suffice. Listen now to these words. Love the quick profit, the annual raise, vacation with pay. Want more of everything ready-made? Be afraid to know your neighbor and to die, and you will have a window in your head. Not even your future will be a mystery anymore. Your mind will be punched in a card and shut away in a little drawer. When they want you to buy something, they will call you. When they want you to die for profit, they will let you know. So friends, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. Denounce the government and embrace the flag. Hope to live in that free republic for which it stands. Give your approval to all you cannot understand. Praise ignorance, for what man has not encountered, he has not destroyed. Ask the questions that have no answers. Invest in the millennium. Plant sequoias. Say that your main crop is the forest that you did not plant and that you will not live to harvest. Say that the leaves are harvested when they have rotted into the mold. Call that profit. Prophesy such returns. Put your faith in the 2 inches of humus that will build under the trees every 1,000 years. Listen to carrion. Put your ear close and hear the faint chattering of the songs that are to come. Expect the end of the world. Laugh. Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. So long as women do not go cheap for power, please women more than men. Ask yourself, will this satisfy a woman satisfied to bear a child? Will this disturb the sleep of a woman near to giving birth? Go with your love to the fields. Lie down in the shade. Rest your head in her lap. Swear allegiance to what is nighest your thoughts. As soon as the generals and the politicos can predict the motions of your mind, lose it. Leave it as a sign to mark the false trail, the way you didn't go. Be like the fox who makes more tracks than necessary, some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection. These words are true. They may be trusted. Amen.